Judgment, justice, God makes promises, keep promises. God is all has authority over everything. God is everlasting. He is our salvation.
Very good. Yep.
You know what? Columbus, when they got ready to sail around the world, they told him the earth was flat, that he'd go out there so far to fall off. But he was a Christian and he read the Bible and he found out that the world was round. So he went sailing and that's when he discovered the part of America. But he thought he could reach India by sailing around.
You know, that's...
But didn't Ted Thomas believe that?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I remember him saying that in his church.
You know, if the world was round, why would the water not...
Gravity.
You know, the God put a boundaries on the waters and all, but, you know, it never went off. So if it's round,
So the name of your lesson is No One Is Like God. So when you think about God and you think about man, the one thing man has tried to do from the very beginning of time is he's tried to create this image of what God is all about in their mind, in man's mind. He's tried to create this image. And by doing so, then you can start clear back in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden that so now man builds idols and this and that, trying to create. We have a picture of what we think maybe Christ looks like. So so even today, then man still tries to do this. But what man's trying to do, this is why the lesson talks about no one is like God. Man wants a God that will overlook, so to speak, their sinfulness. Man wants a God that, and we have a lot of people that teach and preach this today, that a God that will say, okay, if you sin, that's okay. It'll be all right. Just go ahead. And so this is the world that we live in, and it's a world that we've always lived in from the very beginning of time. If you notice, this was given to Isaiah, so the children of Israel were doing the very same thing. They were trying to compare. Well, if I do this, it's not as bad as what those people over there are doing, or if I do this, it's better than what they're, I'm living better than they're living. Or so we're always trying to take something that God says is sin, that God says that he's not pleased with, but we're trying to make it okay in our life. So this is what happens. So we use worldliness to try to understand what God's concepts are all about, what his greatness is all about. And there's nothing in this world that can compare to the characteristics of God. So there's nothing in this world that we can use to do that. So when we talk about the attributes or the characteristics of God's word, then that's why the name of your lesson is No One Is Like God. There is nothing that can match as the things that you read, Roger. There's nothing that can match his power, his holiness, his mercy, his grace, all of those things. There's nothing on this earth that can match that. And why is that? Is because everything that's here was created by God. So that's one of the things. But mankind doesn't recognize that. Some do, but there's a lot, even a lot of believers today don't recognize that everything came from God. So there's a uniqueness to God and his characteristics. And because of this, then he wants us as believers to be holy and completely committed to that in our life. We're not trying to make up excuses. We're not trying to compare God to something else. We're not trying to create this image of what we think God should be or ought to be. But what God wants us to do is to follow after him, because he is the source of everything, not just everything that we see that has been created, but he is the source of everything in our own life. We exist because of God. So he tried to teach this through the Old Testament. If you go back in the book of Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, he says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like God?" So he said, Among all the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? So if you remember, as you come up through the Old Testament, there was all kinds of things that took place where people tried to do something better and offer it to God. What's one of the first instances in the Bible that you can think of where somebody tried to use something worldly and present it to God, thinking God would be pleased with it because I'm comparing something worldly to the greatness of God? It brought about the first murder in history. Sure. What happened there?
One offered the wrong thing.
Cain thought what he done would compare to the greatness of God. And God did not accept that offering because it was worldly. So when we read things like this, he says, "Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing one?" These are all questions that was asked that we're to look at in our life in Christ. Now, if you go on over into 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. Let's go read that one. Because we see this all as we come up through the Old Testament and going into the New Testament, we see this. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, let me get there.
You know, the amazing part, people overlook the fact that God created heaven and earth and everything perfect. And there's no sin in heaven. And people still think those little sins is okay.
Right. Yeah. And they try to make it okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." So every time that man tried to compare something to the greatness of God, then God showed them that there was nothing comparable to his greatness. Now, David, over in Psalm, the 86th Psalm, here's what David said, verse 8. He said, "Among the gods." See, this is three places we've looked at, and it talked about gods, not the God, but God. So what does that tell you? Man created his own gods because he was trying to create something like unto God himself. So David said, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works." So today, if you looked at in our time today and tried to begin to understand this, we say, well, we don't live like they lived back then, so we don't have other gods. But we do. What are some of the other... We pick people now as gods. So we have to begin to understand that we're unworthy. Nothing on this earth is worthy that we can compare to the perfection and the purpose of God's plan in our life. So all of these scriptures that we look at and we read shows us that we have to be humble. We have to learn to receive the commandments and the promises of the truth of God's word. And then we have to begin to acknowledge his greatness and his faithfulness towards us so that we might realize that all of these worldly expectations that we have cannot compare to God himself.
But here's something that I caught, you know, talking to different people that don't know the Lord. They just got their own opinion, or you might call it, and they're fabricating everything. They read the Bible, they bump to say, but they don't have an understanding, so they fabricate things make up or whatever. But it's a shame to not understand the Word of God. But to know him, you have to know him.
Right. So this is where in the New Testament, when we go over and talk about, then in Paul's letters and other parts of the New Testament, it talks about the false teachers, the false prophet. So these are the gods today. These are people, like you said, that they put themselves above everything else. So that means that they're puffed up in worldly pride. The falseness of their imaginations and the demonstrations that they put on of how they worship the Lord and all these different things. These are the gods today, no different than the gods that they had back for themselves in the Old Testament. So if you look at some of the gods that they had back in the Old Testament, we talked about Cain and Abel. If you move on forward, then you look at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at when the children were coming through the wilderness, they made what? The calf, the golden calf, and it's just as you keep coming forward, the worshipers of Baal, how that they danced, and so, but in our time today, it's the same, only more sophisticated maybe, but it's no different than it was back then. You still have the same thing going on in the churches today. And they call it demonstration, or this is how we worship now, or this is, but we're still trying to find the greatness of God in things of the world.
It's all passed down from the past. People just don't know. They're so hung up on what my dad did, what my grandpa did, and all them other people, and that's the way they did it, and it was okay.
Right.
That's not God's way.
Yes. So in Isaiah, we'll read a couple verses here in Isaiah. In Isaiah, he starts out with a series of questions in chapter 40, starting with verse 21. So he asks these questions. He says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" So this is a series of questions that he asked. You know, you're doing all these things, but let me ask you these questions. And while you're doing these things, hasn't right and wrong been passed down from the very beginning? So he says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, the, And so he's describing God. And the habitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. So he said, all these things that you're worshiping, all these things that you're putting, trying to find the greatness of God in, God destroys these things. He eventually takes care of these things. So he says, yes, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. So they cannot. So when you look, let's just look at our time today, at some of what people would have followed after and worshipped after or chased after, some of the great, man says they're great evangelists of all time. Where are they at now? Dead and gone. Because God said right here, they'll not planted, they'll not take root, they'll wither, they'll blow away as stuff. Temporary. So when you look at some of the things that have happened or take place around us in the world, all of these people that maybe went from nothing to what they thought would be the greatness of God in a short amount of time by taking upon themselves the glory of God, pretending to give God the glory, but they took it upon themselves, then they didn't last very long.
I think they missed out on God is a consuming fire.
Right. You're right. So when we read and we study the Word of God, then he puts those questions out here for us, because he wants us to come back to the truth of his word. So, and the only way that we can find this is we have to go back and we have to study and pray and meditate to find out exactly where God wants us to be. So it's God's desire that we acknowledge him and only him. Now, we see him through a lot of many different things as we live in the world today. He blesses people with the ability to sing and sing praises unto him. He blesses people with the ability to teach and to preach and to evangelize. But he wants to make sure that when we're looking at these things, that we're seeing his glory, not the person that's doing it, but we're seeing his glory and the promise of what he. So we're, even though we're listening and we're learning and we're still seeking after his mercy and grace, the person that God is using cannot give you the things that God can give you. He can only point you to the one that can do it for you. That's what it's all about in our life. So when he says, have you not known, then he's asking, Why is it that in times, different situations and circumstances, things that are going on in our life, how is it that we tend to forget about him, his power, his eternal nature, his everlasting presence, his ability to provide the strength that we need, so that we can look beyond these hardships and sufferings in our life, so that we can put our faith and our trust completely in him. Why does that seem to go away in our mind, and we begin to follow after someone or something else that cannot provide this? It's like having an ache or a pain or something in your life, and the doctor says, well, take Advil, take this, take that. But it's not getting rid of it. It's just what?
covering it up.
It's just covering it up for a short period of time. So this is what, when God said, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you? These things that you're doing, you're just using to cover up something that I'm not pleased with. You need to get back to the root. You need to get back to where I want you to be. That's why in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what's he say? Trust in the Lord. That's right. We need to put all of our trust in the Lord. So he says, have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? So that means this is God's way of challenging us to seek after our spiritual awareness. And he says when we fail to listen, then this causes a spiritual blindness in our life, and it limits us to things that, so the circumstances and the situations that we're going through in our life, now that's all we can see. Because of this spiritual blindness, we're not focused no more upon God, but now we're focused upon whatever it is that we're going through, and all it does is create these moments of worldly fear and anxiety in our life. And so he said, in order to overcome this, then we have to use God's word as a reminder to understand that there is no limit with him. The things that we've turned to, we're limited by those things. But when we turn to God, then there is no limit. And it helps us to realize that he is our eternal hope, even when we feel like we've lost all hope.
2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, 18th verse.
Hold on, let me get there. 2 Corinthians, did you say 4?
4th chapter, 18th verse.
Okay. Go ahead.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which we see are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes. And that's what we're talking about. We're focusing on
worldly things.
Yeah, what we're using our senses. What are they? Five of them: hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching. So we're using those, but we're using them in a worldly sense when we should be using them in a spiritual sense. So we're focusing on things physically that we can see. That's what that verse is talking about. And that's not what we're supposed to be focusing on in our life in Christ, because God knows that those things that we focus on are not things that are, those are worldly things that he doesn't want to be a part of our life. So in Isaiah, when you jump forward a little bit in Isaiah, out of chapter 40, if you go to chapter 53, verse 3, he says, he is despised and rejected. No, that ain't where I want to be. Chapter 53. Is it 13? Let me find that verse real quick. It's the verse that says, incline thine ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Let me find that real quick, so I know what verse I'm...
G don't like that word fabricate. So I talk about it a lot. God, anytime you get out of the will of the Lord, you start to fabricate your own.
Well, that's true. So in Proverbs, I don't know how I went from Proverbs to Isaiah. In Proverbs, let me see. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. This is not the verse I'm looking for, but it's close enough. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all flesh." So when he's talking about this, and this will go with the verse you read in Corinthians, then what he wants us to do is he wants us to understand, he wants us to look to the things that are evident of God's existence and his authority. Now, all of creation is evidence of God, but all of creation, the evidence points us to God, not for us to worship these things, but points us to the one that has created these things. So when we begin to see these things, we begin to understand God's wisdom and knowledge, we begin to understand that it's far beyond our human understanding, what we have in this mortal body. So, and we see the evidence of him through nature itself, and that's what makes it so that we're without excuse when it comes to the things that we're following after or worshiping after here upon this earth. We're picking things out that God created, and we're worshiping those things instead of worshiping God himself. So this is one of the things that he tries to help us to see or to avoid in our life, that we're not to be worshiping those things, but we're to be worshiping God. And again, because there is no one or nothing that is like God. So let's read a couple more verses in our lesson today. In verse 25, it says, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" So now he says, once you begin to get a little bit of understanding, what are you going to pick out that can compare to God? There is nothing. So he said, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out the host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." So why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God"? So again, he asks the questions. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding." So when we look at the eternal sovereignty of God, he's always been, he is now, and he always will be. So we grow tired, we faint, God never does that. So now I'm not just talking about physically, but most of all in our life, because physically, the older you get, the more your body is going to grow tired, it's going to grow weak. But we're talking about mentally or spiritually. There should never be an end to growing tired of looking for and understanding the wisdom and the knowledge of God, because it is immeasurable. That's why he said that. Where did he say about his understanding? "There is no searching of his understanding." So that means you cannot find the end of it. Doesn't matter how hard we look, how hard we try, you're not going to find the end of it, because it's beyond anything that our mortal mind could ever search for or look for or begin to fathom. So, and this is a truth that has been from the very foundation of existence. So that means that it reassures us as believers how secure we are in our eternal life and our eternal hope with God. That we can search and search and search and search and search and never get to the end of what God has in store for us in our life. But yet, a lot of times, we put an ending on it. Because we say, oh, I just can't go on. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. I don't want to get out of bed. So your spiritual blindness now is causing your physical body not to want to do anything.
Excuses.
Huh?
Excuses.
Yes. So now we've told ourselves, well, physically or mentally, I can't go on. So that must mean physically now, well, I just don't want to get out of bed today. I don't want to get off the couch today. I don't want to leave the house today. I don't want to do this. So so you can see what this creates within us.
I get older. I slow down. Now I got that place now. I can meditate more on the Lord because, you know, he's got me to the place now. I'm really slowed down. I'm not that crazy, wicked, crazy thing out there in the world. Now I can close my eyes because when I close my eyes, that's when I can see better.
Right.
It's more that I can take and comprehend what God's trying to tell me.
Yes. So I think this is one of the things that he was trying to get Isaiah to interpret to the children of Israel, which again, he from the very beginning to the end of the Bible, he does this, he's done this for everybody, but he's trying to get mankind in general to understand that the only limitations in our life are the ones that we choose to put on ourselves. So let's read the last couple verses, verse 29 through 31. He said, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So again, we're talking about our spiritual mind, so when we take these away and we understand that there's nothing that we cannot do, I can do all things through what? Through Christ Jesus who gives me my strength. So now we can take that and apply that physically to our body as well. So, but when we become spiritually exhausted, then in turn we become physically exhausted. So we have to have this message of hope that God gives unto us, this promise of his divine, where he'll empower us, so that we might be able to grow and take away the spiritual blindness so that we might be able to do those things that he has in store for us to do. So that means God meets us in the moments that we think that we're weak. But yet we still ask ourselves the question, where's God at? Why has he abandoned me? Why? He's standing right in front of us to meet us, but because we have blinded ourselves spiritually, we can't see him. So he offers, he's there, he meets us, he wants to offer us the strength, but we have to turn. We have to seek after his will. We have to allow him to transform that weakness into his strength. And we can only do that through our faith, the faith that he gives us to overcome the difficulties that are going on in our life.
I changed them last words there. There are six words. I should walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what we should be doing.
Exactly.
So in Hebrews, let me read this verse. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, he says, "For ye have need of patience." I'm talking about spiritual patience. "That after ye have done the will of God, then is when you'll receive the promise." So, man's looking to receive the promise without doing the will of God. And that has always been, and that will always continue to be. And that's because man is creating this image of God within himself, that I can do my own will, I can do whatever I want to do, and God should still provide to me the promise. But that's not how it works. So he says, for the people that trust in God, those that rely upon God, then the promise of the strength to overcome life's challenges, God's going to give that to us. He's going to enable us to arise above all of these difficulties, all these sufferings, all these things that are going on in our life, because he's going to help us to endure and give us the confidence to and the ability to do those things that he asked for us to do. So when we feel that we've reached our limit, so once people feel they've reached their limit, what's left for them? They're either going to give up or they're going to turn to God. If you give up, then that's just what it means. We've given up. But when we turn to God, then he's going to give us what we need to keep going, to continue on. And God doesn't want us just to go through life surviving. He wants us to go through life joyful and happy and giving him glory for everything that is taking place in our life. But yet, just as they did through the Old Testament, just as they did coming up through this grace dispensation period, just as we do today, many believers are going through life struggling to survive when they should be living in the fullness of the salvation that God has given unto them.
You can't read half the Bible and get it all.
Huh?
You can't read half the Bible and get it all, in other words. You gotta take the whole 9 yards.
Right.
You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament and a scripture in the New Testament. They all relate together.
It yeah.
Helps give you understand.
Yeah, parts of it don't work.
No, that's like driving
a car with a flat car. That's right. Don't go very far. That's right.
But you know, I was laying there in bed last night and I was